This is 16.9, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. We're all about digital signage and have been since 2006. We cover what's interesting now and what will be interesting and important one day soon. And we filter out all the BS. This podcast is a chance to add depth and color to what we do online, and it gives smart people a chance to really talk about their companies and their ideas. You can hear new episodes weekly on your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, free of charge. 16.9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful, ready-made, auto-delivered, and auto-updated content for screens. There's no question that consumers like the word free, and it's a term that certainly worked for LA-based media signage, which sees about 100 new free accounts open up every day for its mostly free digital signage platform. There are lots of software offers in this business that are free for the first account, but you pay after the second and the third and so on. Or the software is free, but if you want more than very basic functionality, you need to send us money. In this case, Media Signage says about 80% of the functionality of its platform is indeed free. And if clients do need the rest of what's on offer, the most they could pay a month is $100, no matter how many players they have in a network. In this episode, I speak with Sean Levy, one of the two co-founders of Media Signage. We talk a lot about free and how that works as a business model. They run lean, have no salespeople, and leverage the hell out of cloud services. We also get into the technical side of the platform and talk about where the marketplace is going. Sean, thanks for joining me. Can you tell me, first of all, what Media Signage is all about?
Sure. So we offer free digital signage for everyone. I know the term free sometimes sounds odd, and I get this all the time from customers. You know, what's the catch and is it really free? But it is really free. We did start the company about 10 years ago, and that was really the model that we've built into the core of the company. We do provide free digital signage. It's a very large application, the CMS, think maybe Adobe Photoshop times three. It's a very robust enterprise level type application, but we do provide most of the software for free. So essentially, it's a turnkey solution. You go online, you open your account, no need for a credit card or anything, and you can have access to about 80% of the software. You have access to unlimited storage, you have access to unlimited traffic, and most importantly, you have access to managing unlimited number of screens, and it doesn't really cost you anything. And at any point, if you decided that you wanted some of the additional benefits, such as a white label or branding, if you needed things like some of the more advanced components we have, like Facebook or collection or XML integration, then you pay simply $99 a month. And that's all that you'll ever be able to pay us. If you pay us $100, we'll have to refund you. So that's it. It's a very open platform, and again, the free model was kind of built into the core product.
Of course, the question begs then, how do you make money?
Sure, and I get this all the time. So actually, we are very profitable. The company has been profitable pretty much from the third year, I think. And we make our money in several different ways. We do have thousands of subscribers to the Enterprise Edition of $99 a month. We call ourselves the world's most popular digital signage platform. And the reason we say that is because obviously we own the domain digitalsignage.com. So that's, you know, that's a big plus. We get a lot of traffic, thousands of hits a day. We actually get over 100 accounts per day. I don't know personally, at least, of any other signage company that gets over 100 accounts per day. Of course, a lot of these are free accounts, and that's totally fine. Again, it's all part of this disruptive model. We're kind of like, you know, Dropbox or Evernote, or where you really get a lot for free, but then you can upgrade. So we make our money if you decide to purchase our hardware, which you don't have to. A lot of our customers do, and we do have our own Android device that we've developed a custom OS for. And so we sell thousands and thousands of these Android sticks. We also have our own tablet. And so the hardware is definitely a revenue maker for us. As I mentioned, the thousands of subscribers, they do pay the $99 a month for the subscription. And also we have a couple other unique models. We have a hybrid solution. So we do manage for customers their network for them. So it's the same exact cloud solution, but it is in a private hybrid AWS Amazon server. And there's a flat fee of $1,800 a month for that. Also unlimited number of screens. So we have clients that subscribe to that service. And also we have your good old private server, you know, you manage it within your facility, not the cloud. And we have a ton of government agencies that purchase that, that type of solution. Again, having something in-house so you can control the updates, you can control everything. So, and that model actually does have a per screen, we do charge per license per screen. So that's, again, a different pricing model. So there's money coming from different areas of the company. And also we do content creation as well. So we have a fairly inexpensive $150 a month content creation. So that's how we make our money.
And $150 content creation, what does that mean? Like, what do you do?
It means we'll create for you multiple, usually 2 to 3 timelines. We'll go to your website. We'll grab your content, your videos, your images. So you'll have, if you're a dentist or if you have a bicycle shop, we'll create a presentation that's according to whatever you need. And I know, again, it's very disruptive. It's very inexpensive. But that's what we do. We try and, you know, our slogan is digital signage for everybody. And that's really what we do. We try and make it affordable for everybody.
Right. So you're not going to make a bunch of money out of that, but you're just,
Nope. You're
sort of binding them to your service a little bit more by doing that.
Absolutely.
If you're opening 100 accounts a day, do you have any sense at all that you can share about what the conversion ratio is? Like if you open 3,000 accounts a month, do 100 turn into paid customers or any sense of that?
I honestly, I'd never really sat down and calculated that. We just look at our annual growth, and we do grow every single year. So I don't have the exact conversion. But again, I just look at the percentage, you know, how many screens we have now, how many subscribers we have now. I can tell you that we have over 80,000 screens in the network. So it's a very large network. You know, you have many customers or many signage companies out there that focus on a particular segment, you know, retail, you know, restaurants. But with us, because we have so many customers, tens of thousands, really, we cater to every single industry, every single country. It's a very robust solution. Obviously, if it's running so many screens, it has to be battle tested. So we cater to everybody. We try and accommodate. We keep on adding features and making it more and more useful. And really just trying to provide something that's inexpensive and that's something that works for everybody.
You say screens. You're saying really player licenses that you have 80,000 or something?
Yep, but not licenses because, again, remember, we don't charge per license. But
say devices.
Devices or screens, yeah.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of companies out there that say, you know, we service 300,000 screens, but they do a bunch of TV walls where there's 40 screens.
No. With us, it's actual socket connection. I believe it's over 60,000 now. And screens through some of the other solutions, as I mentioned, through private servers, through the hybrid solutions. So it's, I believe now it's north of 80 to 90,000. Yeah.
This must be one hell of a lot more economically feasible than it was even, you know, 5 years ago, just because of the competition in the cloud space that you can get, you know, storage for very, very cheap and infrastructure on demand. Is that pretty accurate?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we moved to Amazon a few years back, and that absolutely, you know, increased our revenues and also made things really possible for us, because with so many accounts, you really need to be able to handle the traffic. You need to be able to handle the load. And so, again, thanks to the virtualization, AWS, we're able to very easily add additional servers, AWS instances, and really support that type of growth.
Did you found the company?
Yeah, me and my partner, we founded in 2008. He actually lives in Israel, so he's the head of development, and I am head of the business, although I do some software development as well when I can. But yeah, we started the company together in 2008, and pretty much it's been going at it for what, 10 years now.
What kind of got you into it?
Well, my previous company was Heli Hobby, which was, I was the first guy to sell a remote control, electric remote control helicopters online. And back in 2008, I kind of noticed that this industry is really going to change, and it did. Really, the Chinese got into it and started selling direct, and the recession hit. And so for me, the writing was kind of on the wall, and I knew that it's just time to do something else. And I looked around. That business I sold. So I sold my previous company, Heli Hobby, and that really just just was looking for something else.
So this was a pretty natural progression then, going from helicopters to signage for signs or for screens.
Yeah. Well, for Heliobby, I was also doing a lot of software development. So, I mean, that's really my background. So I was looking to use my expertise as a developer, and so was my partner. And so, you know, that was the perfect solution, because obviously there's a lot of technology and a lot of code in digital signage.
You're in Los Angeles. Is most of the company in LA, or is a lot of it over in Israel?
No, just development is in Israel, but all the shipping and the rest is all done here in LA. And then the support guys are pretty much all over. We have support guys in the Philippines. We have a few guys that's been with us for, I think since the beginning, I think for 8-10 years now. So they're experts in the software, and all the support is free. Live chat is free. Phone support is free. We really, really try and provide as much as we can to our customers.
I guess the other company that's done something similar would be Rise Vision. Do you sort of see them as your primary competitors in terms of offering a free service?
You know, honestly, I don't really look around. I know there's so many signage companies. I'll be totally honest with you if I tell you that I've never logged into the portal of any other signage company. I've never looked at anyone, and we just focus on other things. I mean, there's just so much to do. We're so busy. You know, right now we're getting into touch, heavily into interactive signage. So I think everybody's a competitor. Everybody, I mean, there's so many companies out there doing signage. We did the DSC a couple of times, but we just found it was just too much of a hassle. I mean, it was about like $35,000 for the booth, and it was just too much work. For our model, it's just better to focus on online marketing. And sure, the competition is high, and there's many other signage companies. But as I mentioned, we do have very high exposure. Our domain, digitalsignage.com, really gets us a lot of traffic, a lot of new customers. But again, it's not enough to just, you know, get the traffic. You got to really have the software to back it up. And we do. Our software it's amazing. It's enterprise level. It has every possible feature you can imagine. And so, again, just having the domain is great. But I think we really have really solid application to back it up. And it just shows with the customers. I mean, some of our customers are AWS, Amazon. They actually use us. We have Honeywell. We have Adidas. The list goes on and on. I'm talking about tens of thousands of customers. So that's really why we call ourselves the world's most popular signage. Maybe not the most profitable. Well, for sure not. You know, maybe not, you know, not the largest, but we're just popular because of our business model and because of our offering.
So what would be the largest network that you have running in terms of numbers of devices that are under one domain or whatever you want to call it?
I know a few. I know one that has about 4,000 screens. I know one that has, I believe, 3,800 screens. And it's funny because the one on 3,800 screens, they pay us $99 a month. That's it. The one on 4,000, they actually moved to a hybrid solution recently. So they pay us that flat $18.50 a month. But 3,800 screens last I checked, and $99 a month. And that's totally fine with us. I mean, we're all for, you know, for offering as much as we can. And it's, you know, I think it's very difficult to have a free model that actually is very profitable. But we've been successful in doing that. And I think it's just becoming easier and easier because, you know, obviously we're adding more features and more people are finding the software to do what they need. And now with touch catching on. So I think there's definitely a lot more to do. And I think this industry is growing. I see there's going to be consolidation for sure. But I think we have enough going for us to be able to really last.
From what I know of your platform, and I could easily be wrong, I think in the early days, your user experience was Flash-based. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so we did start with Flash, and obviously Flash is dead. So we did the conversion 100% to Adobe Air. So Adobe Air is now our main driver. And I think that's also one of the benefits. I know many customers have migrated to HTML, and we do have a light JavaScript player as well. But Adobe Air really gives us benefits that many other companies, signage companies, don't have. For example, we can really get GPU performance that's sometimes hard to get with HTML. And so really, of course, across OS goes without saying. So for us, it's single development, single compile. And through Adobe Air, we can run on on Mac, we can run on Windows, we can run Linux, we can run on Android, we can run on iPads, and it runs exactly the same, identical. So we get awesome performance, essentially game-like performance where everything runs on the GPU, but we don't have to have so many developers writing or developing so many different platforms. So really Air is what we've migrated to.
And tell me more about Air, because it's not something that comes up very often anymore. I kind of link it to Flash, but I'm guessing that's wrong.
It's not entirely wrong. Air is a kind of a weird animal that came out of Flash. It uses a lot of the runtimes of Flash, but it's at the end of the day, you're compiling into an executable. So if you're going to develop into, if you're going to run something on Android, you're going to develop an APK, and it runs natively through the Air wrapper. So it has a lot of the benefits of Flash. I mean, Flash is obviously was a great solution for signage for many years, but that's gone. And so Air really gives you, I think, gives you all the benefits of having native type performance through GPU, compiling natively to each platform, but still get the benefits of the things that were great about Flash, where you would can easily have great animation and smooth GPU and so on.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
Is it at any risk of going end of life like Flash has done, or is it its own beast?
I think it's on its own beast. I mean, Adobe is pushing Air pretty hard for mobile gaming mostly. There used to be Flex, which is the application development side of things. So Adobe is not pushing that anymore, but they are pushing hard on the gaming part of it because it is actually a pretty awesome gaming platform. Again, for the same reasons, you get GPU performance for games. And there's very few Unity. I mean, I guess you can compare it to Unity 3D, where you develop once and can run multiple platforms. So Adobe is really pushing for gaming on Air.
Would this matter at all to the average Joe who's listening to this and has no idea what you just said?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. I mean, your dentist or your local church. I mean, they want something that's robust. They want something that's simple to understand. They want something that they just plug it in, it works, and that's what our platform is all about. Although, well, we have a lot of different solutions, and we have Studio Lite, which is an HTML open source project, which is also very popular. So it's a little bit easier to get up and running with. And then we have Studio Pro, which is your full blown enterprise level, also free. A guy just needing some sort of a signage solution wouldn't even care about the underlying technology.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of your customers, I would imagine, of those 100 that are signing up a day, are the dentists and the local accountants and retailers and so on.
Absolutely. I mean, if I just showed you just an orders from just from today, you would see orders from every single segment of industry for sure.
And how do you communicate with them? Because it's free in most cases. Do you have an active user forum of any kind?
Yep, we have a forum, but really, again, we are a very different signage company. I think you can tell just from our business model and the way we do things. So we don't have a sales team at all. We don't have any. We don't go after, even if a company would call us tomorrow and order, a server with 1,000 licenses. We don't really follow up. We don't really have a sales team. We don't have upselling. We basically have just support, just technical support. The guys on support can take orders, and that's it. So we keep it very simple. We keep it profitable because we don't need all these salespeople, and people just come to us. They open accounts, turnkey online. Either they use it as is, or they'll go to support and they'll ask for help, and we'll offer them content creation, or we'll even go log into their account and create for them whatever they're having problems with.
Do you do custom development?
We do custom development, yes.
And that's obviously fee-based.
Yeah, and we try not to because it is time consuming. So we try and really, usually if a customer will come to us and ask for a custom solution, we'll see how we can, maybe mutate it into a feature that everybody can enjoy. Just because we're so stressed with the development, there's so many things we want to do. So that's normally what we'll do. We'll try and make it just a public feature. Mm-hmm.
And are most of your customers using the Android stick?
I would say probably about 70% use our stick, and if not ours, then some sort of Android. But definitely Android is definitely the most popular runtime in our environment. Although again, because we are so open, because we are cross OS, we have customers running on iPads, we have customers running on Windows 7, Windows 10, Windows XP. So Linux, although we stopped supporting Linux a few years back, we still have a lot of customers using Linux from our previous runtimes. So really just across the board, everything, yeah.
Can you run on system on chip?
No, but we can run on Android TV. And actually we started promoting the Sony Bravia, which runs flawlessly. It runs beautiful, 60 frames per second, super smooth RSS, 100% GPU with our 6.0 release. And yeah, directly on the Sony, not just Sony. I mean, there's actually a few other Android TVs out there that Google started pushing a few years back, and we do fully support them. We actually have a special compilation APK for Android TV.
But not Android for digital signage. There's something like Sharp, for instance, has, and Sharp and Philips have flavors of Android running on their system on chip.
You know what? To be honest, I don't know. I haven't tried. If it's Android, we don't really care. If it's Android, our software usually runs just fine.
Right.
So as long as it's Android, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't run.
There's a lot of mixed opinions out there about Android. I've written about it pretty extensively. And you have on one side companies who say it's settled right down. We understand the versions. We know what we need. It's matured to a point. We're good. Whereas mm-hmm. other companies have said, we couldn't stay on top of the versions. It's too unreliable in terms of supply chain and everything else. So we walked on it, and we're back to using Windows or Linux.
Sure. Yeah, honestly, if you came to our office, you would see so many screens running Android. And on our stick, we've been running the same firmware for about, I think, 3-4 years now. And these things are battle tested. I mean, they'll run for years without a single reboot, and they work beautifully. So, and again, GPU type performance. So personally for us, maybe Air has something to do with it. So I can't really speak for other companies using possibly Java or other, development environments. But for us, it's been really a huge success.
And how do you deal with the hardware? Because a lot of companies that have tried Android devices, they found them from consumer manufacturers, and the build can change from shipment to shipment.
Well, I think one of the reasons is that a lot of our customers will actually buy our hardware that we certify. So
right.
once they buy hardware, there's no problem because we actually lock everything down. There's no update to the OS. All that is just locked down. It's a special baked OS. If they develop their own, or if they just use their own sticks, and some of our customers do, or their own Android devices, then again, same thing. I mean, they try it. I'm sure they'll try it for a few days and make sure that everything works. And once it does, it just works. So, I'm sure they'll just disable their updates, their OS updates, and that's it. I know a lot of our customers that are resellers of the platform. I know actually quite a few of them that they'll go and just get their own sticks on Android, on Amazon Android sticks, and then they'll modify, they'll remove the taskbar, they'll remove like Bluetooth and other things. And once you lock down the OS to do what you need, I don't see why you'll have a problem with it. I mean, if anything, I think Windows potentially could have more problems. We do sell also Windows Embedded, and we do sell embedded device Windows Embedded 7 as part of our offering as well. But for sure, we sell more Android than the Windows devices.
But you were able to find a manufacturer over in Shenzhen or Korea or wherever mm-hmm. who was able to give you a reliable piece of hardware that's the same components and everything month after month, year after year.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now that we ship over 1,000 Androids, sometimes less, sometimes more, but we ship thousands and thousands of these every year. And I can tell you that our return rate for these devices are probably less than 5%.
And what do they cost?
Retail, we resell them for $165.
Yeah, so very inexpensive.
Yeah, very inexpensive, and they're beautiful. I mean, you plug them in, they work. They work flawlessly. They work. I mean, I'm looking at the screens right now, and I don't even remember when was the last time I even looked at them or rebooted them, and they just do their job.
Mm-hmm. So web services have really come a long way in the last 2-3 years in particular. What's going on right now in terms of the development world that has you and your software guys kind of excited and intrigued about possibilities?
So for us, it's really touch. I mean, for the past 7-8 years, we've been focusing on digital signage, and we've added every possible feature you can imagine. I mean, if you name it, we have it. From transitions to live TV integration to everything. And we've had the touch for a few years, but it was really, really basic. So for us, we really see touch being the next thing for us. In fact, we're starting to sell now tablets, 10-inch tablets that we are also bringing in from China that work really well. Again, 100% GPU. And that's really where we're going to do our next push is into touch. We did release a feature called Media AdNet, which allows you to, you know, as you know, same type of ad network that most other signage companies either connect to or have, where you can exchange ads with neighboring businesses. And that thing hasn't taken off, and that's fine. We have the whole ad network solution in there. And a lot of our customers actually use the ad network solution to be able to push ads, but it's not really ads, it's just their own content between businesses. So they use it as a tool to manage content between businesses that are not related, but it's still under the same reseller, same umbrella. So for us, the AdNet didn't really catch on. We didn't really even know if it'll catch on, but we wanted to have it in there. So we spent about a year developing it, and it's there and it's working. And it has some usage with the proof of play and so on. But for us, really, touch is going to be the next thing. And I think that's really where things are going to happen in the next few years.
And that's based on customer demand or just your own sense of the marketplace?
Both. I personally think touch is where it's going to, that's where things are going. And also we have customers asking specifically for touch related features.
So this would be in education, hospitals, retail, whatever,
everywhere
where people want to look
yep.
something up.
Yeah, we already have about 25 or 30 templates already done with touch. So if you want like a building directory, it's already done for you. You just need to swap out the names. If you want a hospital where you can find the patient, particular room, just swap out the data and connect to the backend XML or JSON. So we have all those templates and we keep on generating them for our customers, and they're fully editable. And so, yeah, I think there's just going to be a lot of opportunity with touch.
What do you think about the argument that it's the lines are blurring between an online content management system and a digital signage content management system? And at some point, do you get to a point where you don't even really need a digital signage application because you can do what you need to do out of something like WordPress or whatever?
It might be true for certain things, but I think if you're going to want some sort of integration with your backend POS, and you're going to want something where, for example, one of the things that we have right now in our solution, and which it works really nice, is that you can take your phone, you can scan a QR on the screen, that the QR actually gets generated dynamically. And as soon as you scan, you have a custom HTML application that runs on your phone, and your phone becomes a remote control to your signage. So things like that, I don't think, you know, just your regular WordPress are going to support. So I think signage is going to get more and more advanced. You'll have more and more features. And so once this HTML application runs on your phone, you'll be able to, for example, you know, select a campaign, you'll be able to select a product. And as soon as you do, all the screens in the store will change to the presentation that you've selected. And when the timer is out, basically the next person can come to the screen. There's a new QR code generated, so you can no longer control the screen, so you can't do that when you leave the facility. So I think these type of solutions are gonna be the pearl of signage, where you'll have really advanced features in the future where customers are gonna demand that. I think they're gonna need, you know, more advanced solutions that you're not gonna get just from a simple, you know, WordPress type of a HTML solution.
Mm-hmm. Sean, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me.
Sure, absolutely. Anytime.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 69 The Blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.